A rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. A grey-skinned pygmy hippo.
It's one of the world's most appealing creatures. And one of its most mysterious. There are around 350 pygmy hippos living in zoos. But in the wild, they are endangered and notoriously hard to find.
In the jungle.
Now a young ecologist is taking on what might be Mission Impossible. To unravel the secrets of an animal few have ever seen, and about which we know so little. She'll spend months deep in a remote West African rainforest, facing its many hazards, as she attempts to get a glimpse of its elusive behavior, understand how it uses its forest home, so that ultimately, conservationists can work out what the pygmy hippo needs to survive.
Oh! Oh my God!
The pygmy hippo, a very secret life. Narrated by David Harewood.
Meet Gloria. She's a three-month-old baby pygmy hippo. Gloria likes messing around, exploring, and taking a nap. She lives with her mum, Wendy, in Marwell Zoo. But for wild pygmy hippos, life is not so rosy. Their forest home is disappearing at an alarming rate. And at the moment, all we really know about them is what we know from captive hippos, like Gloria and Wendy. Australian Wei Yin Yap is a vet, a wildlife ecologist, and passionate about pygmy hippos.
They're just so gorgeous. How can you not fall in love with this?
The rainforest.
The hippos' secretive and reclusive behavior in the wild makes them hard, if not impossible, to study. But the clock is ticking, and Wei knows scientists must find out much more about them before it's too late.
If we want to try and attempt to save them, then we have to know how they function and what they need to survive in order to come up with some kind of plan.
Pygmy hippos are on the internationally recognized red list, with officially just 2,000 to 3,000 left. Living in a region of West Africa recently blighted by civil unrest, their numbers could be much lower. Today, pygmy hippos are found in just a few isolated pockets of what's left of the Upper Guinea forest.
A map.
The largest surviving protected population is in Côte d'Ivoire, in the Tai National Park. Wei has experience of studying hard-to-find rainforest animals. Now she's joined forces with local conservationists in an international effort to help solve one of the natural world's last great mysteries.
Amazingly enough, there are some animals left in the world nowadays that we still don't know almost anything about, and the pygmy hippo is one of them.
Leading the Tai Hippo Project are Professor Inza Koni and Dr. Karim Ouattara.
It is very, very difficult to see the pygmy hippo.
These animals are nocturnal, very elusive, very cryptic, so very difficult to follow and study.
I think this is one of the challenges that Wei Yin will face.
Research assistants Donassian Bele and Leon Sio To have 18 years forest experience between them. But even they have only glimpsed a pygmy hippo.
Everything with this animal is hard. It makes every little thing that we do manage to achieve really, really exciting.
At the base,
Wei's new home will be a dilapidated research station in the remote forest, 5 hours from the nearest big town. Building a case file on this notoriously difficult animal will be anything but easy. The pressure is on.
Wei sits outside on the steps at night. Then it's daytime, and she's walking through a shallow stream in the jungle.
Understanding more about the pygmy hippo's very secret life is the first step to being able to protect its long-term future in the wild.
The big things for us is to just start really simple and just start with getting a really basic, clear, simple idea of what pygmy hippo behaviour and ecology and density is and what is really important to their survival.
The enormity of this mission impossible task is starting to dawn on Wei as she spends the first 2 months looking for clues.
The water's really high at the moment, but we found fresh tracks all along this little exit entry point. So I've just come back to check it out again. It's a really perfect area for the hippo. As you can see, the river's deep enough that he can get fully submerged in here.
Pygmy hippos can be just a tenth of the size of the common hippo. Both are amphibious, but unlike their larger cousins, pygmy hippos are thought to lead a solitary life. Adults only meet to mate.
Wei walks over the muddy ground, looking for tracks.
To add to Wei's challenge, they are believed to hide in water by day and are most active at night.
We've got a print here, which you can see, the two main big phalanges and then the two little residual ones. And then further up here, we can see he's exited out of this riverbank here. And it's not that great, but you can see his two phalanges again here as he's made his way up. I'm looking in certain places, I'm trying to think like a pygmy hippo, and it seems at the moment to be working.
Looking out across the treetops.
The Tai National Park is the largest protected tranche of primary rainforest left in West Africa. It's home not just to the pygmy hippo, but to many other rare animals. With a staggering 140 species of mammal alone, the park's amazing array of flora and fauna has earned its World Heritage Site status.
A monkey sits on a branch with its baby.
There are 12 different primates, including the vulnerable Diana monkey. But illegal poaching and gold mining is increasing the pressure on the park's wildlife. Côte d'Ivoire already has one of the highest deforestation rates in the world. It's lost almost 70% of its original forest cover in just 50 years.
If you look at the original home range of pygmy hippos in Côte d'Ivoire, you will see that most forest areas have just been destroyed, converted to industrial plantations. And when plantations are so close to the forest, yeah, this is a direct threat.
Deforestation, plus cocoa, coffee, and rubber plantations continue to threaten forests like Tai, one of the last strongholds of the pygmy hippo.
In the jungle,
Wei is thrilled to find what she thinks are fresh pygmy hippo tracks. But catching sight of who made them will be a much bigger challenge.
She follows them up the bank.
Wei and the team have set up remote cameras with night vision. She's checking what they've captured. It's a fascinating home movie of the inhabitants of the Tai forest. There is an African civet, a water chevrotain, white-breasted guinea fowl, and a particularly nosy, sooty mangabey. The largest of the 8 species of forest antelopes called dikas is the Gentix dika, endangered and nocturnal, just like the pygmy hippo.
They tend to seem to come around the same areas as the pygmy hippos a lot. So where we have confirmed presence of a pygmy hippo, we seem to get confirmed presence of Gentix in the same area as well. We got some leopards. We've got this beautiful shot of a really healthy, really gorgeous male, because you can see his back end, leopard.
Then, the animal Wei came to see.
So that's amazing. We've got this beautiful picture of a really quite large male pygmy hippo, and you can see him here coming and actually sniffing the path and kind of going well, that smells like humans. I don't think I'll go down there today. And he gives it a really, really, really good sniff, hangs around for quite a few seconds, and then decides to keep moving on.
Footage of wild pygmy hippos is exceptionally rare. Now Wayne knows where this male hippo is active, she hopes he'll be back.
That's our first confirmation, so we'll put something up there and hopefully manage to study him way more.
In 2010, a hippo with a distinctive notch in its left ear was caught on a project camera, but Wei doesn't think it's the same hippo. But such a distinguishing feature could help identify it if it's still here.
Wei sets a camera up on a tree trunk with Donasian's help.
The team throws up a web of 12 cameras around the target area. Almost anything that Wei can learn from observing the pygmy hippos will help her build a case file. But Wei's ultimate goal is more ambitious. She hopes to physically capture a pygmy hippo and attach a GPS collar, which will remotely store, then send her, a comprehensive data bank on what the hippo's been doing, where he's been going, and when this all happens. This could be groundbreaking new science. To test the radio telemetry system is working, she's heading 20 meters up into the canopy, where the signal should be clearest.
She pulls herself up on a rope to a small platform in the top of the tree. Wei holds the aerial up at arm's length.
Hi, Boogie. I'm not getting any signal.
Just keep walking unless you hear that I have a signal. I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks.
Ivorian PhD student Ellie Boogie is the man on the ground with the collar.
Hi, Boogie. I've got a pretty weak signal.
So if we mark that, that's our distance.
Okay.
With the collar working correctly, there's time to appreciate the new perspective.
Once you've been working in the jungle for a while, you get really stuck visually with just not seeing any horizon and feeling really enclosed all the time. And it's actually a really big deal psychologically. It kind of makes you realize a whole different parallel universe existing in the forest.
Monkeys run along branches.
I think when I was coming up, I disturbed a little group of pied colobus over there. They seem to be pretty curious and pretty freaked out by a big primate climbing one of their trees. So they're staying a lot less conspicuous now, which is interesting because there were some red colobus over in that clearing over there. They didn't seem bothered at all. Up here, it's perfect hornbill height. There's hornbills, and instead of just seeing them flitting over a clearing for half a second, you get to actually see them moving from tree to tree.
And somewhere, deep below the forest canopy, are pygmy hippos.
Driving bamboo into the ground.
In order to collar a hippo, first, she'll have to catch one. It won't be easy, but Wei is undeterred.
Pardon.
She and the team are building a series of humane traps close to the hippo's trail.
They build a cage out of the tall bamboo poles. Wei carries one through the jungle on her shoulder.
Wei is throwing herself into the task.
Donasian says, the first time I saw her, I said to myself, she's very small. Can she work in the forest? But really, she surprised me. She works better, and she's very courageous. Totally opposite to what I thought.
Wei isn't afraid of a challenge. She even tried to learn French, just for this mission.
At first, it was difficult for her to speak French, but she speaks better now and explains more.
Parler mieux, à s'expliquer mieux.
Cross him pour ça, parce que après
no one speaks any English. I took to learning French as quickly as possible. I'm probably saying completely ridiculous things a lot of the time.
Ici?
Un jour.
Leon says one day she was talking about how hippos mate, but she didn't speak French. She mimed it. That was very funny.
Don't, c'était rigolo.
the large bamboo cage is constructed.
13 weeks into the mission, stage one of the plan is complete. There are four traps built and ready for action.
A wooden door drops down.
Then disaster strikes.
Wei is lying on her bed.
Wei falls ill. It looks like malaria, a potentially fatal disease. Despite drug treatment, she isn't getting any better. And the nearest big hospital is an 11-hour drive away.
I'm probably going to have to get some tests run and just make sure there's nothing else going on. Which really sucks, because the traps are built and ready to go and our trapping date's set for the next few days, and it's all a real big bummer.
Wei is finally persuaded to go to hospital, where it's confirmed she has both malaria and a stomach bug.
Back at the research centre.
She's hospitalised for several days, by which time the capture team has arrived but is now behind schedule. Veterinary anaesthetist Dr. Tim Bouts and postgraduate student Gabriella Flack are now eager to get started.
This is ketamine which goes here with the ketamine.
It's nearly 30 years since anyone attempted to anaesthetize wild pygmy hippos.
Your dose for methotrexate?
20 milligram and 300.
Tim is experienced in captive pygmy hippo sedation, but he knows that this part of the capture process is the most risky.
If you speak with somebody in Ivory Coast, they said last time it happened, all the pygmy hippos died. I'm sure it wasn't like that, but this is the general feeling here in Ivory Coast. So the fact that they allowed to do this was a big step for the Ivorians. Always test it on yourself first. And this one then fits. If you really have to breed for the animal, it fits at the back. We are well prepared. We can do everything here. We've got emergency drugs if something goes wrong. It's always in the back of our mind, but we shouldn't shy away of it, because the possible benefits of this project are just immense.
Sedation is the only way to get a GPS collar onto a pygmy hippo.
Wei's back, and she leads Tim and Gabriel through the forest.
With Wei back on her feet, the unexpected delay means they now have only 8 days to catch one of the world's most elusive animals. And the clock is ticking.
The door only comes up to this high, so you can actually shoot straight through
that
this.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. And it's easy enough to have someone else distract him on the other side.
Yeah, we'll need to have, probably two people to distract and then hope that I don't shoot the person on the other side.
Yeah. You wedge it against this side and against
it. It's the first chance to check the traps are still working since Wei was sick.
It's just this trap that's really, really fiddly, because it was the first trigger we built.
This trap, unfortunately, our first trap, was real trial and error, so it's not the nicest and smoothest mechanism. There are lots of parts where things can break just purely because they've been weathered. It's a huge thing to have a trap not work if a hippo walks through it. And there's no way they'll walk through it again, ever.
A bit more. Merci.
They prepare the trap.
Do you guys want to see this working?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who wants to be the hippo? Tim?
Okay, I look most like it.
C'est pas nécessaire, okay?
Tim steps in.
Be careful, be really careful.
You just walk through it now.
Yep.
His foot hits a string and the door falls.
Voila!
That goes quick.
Okay.
It's a relief. But Karim knows that the pygmy hippo can be a wily and wary opponent.
It is the first time we tried a trap with the pygmy hippos. We have no idea now that this will work, but we hope it will work.
The trap door is tested again and falls successfully. The team are walking through the forest.
It's 6 in the evening, and time to set the traps for the first time. Wei is trying several different types of bait, all designed to lure a hungry hippo.
So this is just salt, a lot of sea salt, mineral salts, mixed in with clay. So it's forming an artificial salt lick, which most herbivores find really, really tempting.
She pours it out in the trap.
Hippos are known in captivity to eat cassava, bananas, apples, oranges, the whole lot. But we have also been trying other very commonly found vegetables here, like avocados, plantain, and yam.
Wei is keen to rid the yam of as much human scent as possible. The pygmy hippo may not have great eyesight, but its nose is literally its biggest asset. If it gets a whiff of humans, it could run a mile.
It's all set, ready to go.
Well, let's go, give the hippos a chance.
Yeah, he'll be waking up from his bed now.
Yes.
Hopefully he's silly enough to decide, or curious enough to decide, to walk through and eat some yam.
Grey clouds gather over the research centre as evening draws in.
The downpour is welcome. As the rainy season approaches, it's thought that pygmy hippos become more active, which might play to Wei's advantage.
Clouds drift over the treetops, and the brown river water flows gently through the forest.
At dawn, Wei gets a shock. She knows there might be a pygmy hippo in one of the traps on the other side of the river, but the fallen tree trunk they've been using as a bridge has disappeared in the downpour. There's no way the whole team can get across with all their capture kit.
The river had risen so high that the way that we were using to cross was completely and utterly submerged, to the point where I got lost on the riverbank for about half an hour trying to figure out where my entry point was.
But she can't leave a potentially distressed hippo stuck inside the trap. There's only one way to find out.
She takes off her shirt and swims across in a costume.
Swimming across the river brings its own dangers, but Wei is determined.
Crossing rivers is not exactly nice at 5 a.m. in the morning when you're checking traps, but if it needs to get done, it needs to get done. A lot of other researchers just don't go into the forest when it is like that. Unfortunately, we don't have that choice. If we've set a trap, we can't exactly leave an animal in it.
There's no pygmy hippo in the traps yet, but with more rain to come, Wei needs a new plan if the river stays this high.
My only choice this morning was to swim it, but it's not an option for the rest of the crew, and getting all our collars and immobilisation gear and guns and CO2 canisters and IV fluids and everything and ultrasound machines across. So I'm not sure what we're going to do.
They start to build a rope bridge.
It's vital that the team can get across the river, so the decision is taken to build a bridge.
Leon and Danasian secure wooden panels to act as steps and test out the bridge.
The pygmy hippo's forest home is crawling with other hazards.
Large black ants scurry across the leaves on the ground.
Driver ants are one of the most aggressive animals in the forest. Living in vast nomadic colonies of up to 20 million, workers carve out marching paths, flanked by larger soldiers with powerful jaws who attack anything in their way.
She gets repeatedly bitten.
They call them manya here. And you get ant swarms, and if you step into them, there are a certain type of manya that really, really hurt. And once they bite, they don't let go, so you've got to rip them out, which is what I'm doing through my pants. I would, if I was by myself, probably rip my clothes off right now.
A swarm of manya can kill a scorpion in a matter of minutes.
That's why you wear socks over your pants. And I stupidly didn't wear my socks over my pants today.
The moon in a pale night sky, then mist drifting slowly over the trees.
It's 6 a.m. the next day, and Onassian and Leon are on early morning trap checking duty.
We're sort of waiting right now in extreme suspense, trying not to stress out. The time frames that we're having to work with put the pressure on quite a lot. But there's nothing we can do about it. It's up to the hippo and chance.
She asks, got anything? And Leon says no. So she asks, any other animals? And he says no again.
Wei can only hope that Donassian brings better news.
As he approaches, she asks, and the trap wasn't shut.
Okay, merci, Donassian. There's definitely a sense of disappointment, but I suppose we need to get used to the fact that the majority of mornings this is what's going to happen, and so it's push it aside and let's get on with today.
To further understand Wei's elusive opponent, Karim arranges a visit to the elders of several local villages. Sharing valuable knowledge between the communities and scientists is fundamental to the project. Here they are regaled with stories of an animal of mystery, myth, and legend.
If people see the tail, and if you laugh, you can go crazy.
You know, you've got people over 70 years, 80 years, that remember what it was like when there was rainforest everywhere, and seeing pygmy hippos was really normal.
Inside a large wooden structure.
In the second village, the elders tell them they believe the pygmy hippo was once human, so people have a duty to protect it.
This is how they keep in mind the pygmy hippos, yeah.
It's not just in Europe, it's not just in Australia where we go, oh, they're so cute, we should save them. It's also charismatic and has a lot of meaning here as well.
Wei goes back to one of the traps and checks the camera on it.
Back in the forest, there's still no sign of any pygmy hippos at the traps. But the cameras rigged in and around them reveal an interesting development. A host of other forest animals venturing inside.
Small animals walk through the trap.
Rather worryingly, they also witness thieves in the night. Brush-tailed porcupines make off with the yams intended to lure the pygmy hippo.
They put out more food.
All the team can do is keep rebaiting the traps.
Wei removes one of the cameras.
It's day four before Wei gets even a glimmer of hope. She's viewed video footage through the small viewfinder of a camera outside Trap 1, which seemed to show something exciting.
Donassian!
She says, I have good news now. I went to the first trap with Leon and saw lots of fresh poo. And after that, I took the camera and saw a very nice image, the big male. The door was there. And after I saw him go here, here, here. It happened today at 7 a.m.
Ça. Il passait. Aujourd'hui, maintenant, 7 heures.
In the trap, he asks, and she confirms, in the trap.
Celebration soon turns to disappointment when Wei takes a closer look at the images.
Unfortunately, when we went back to the computer, we realised that the door had actually triggered. We can't figure out what exactly happened there or what triggered that trap. And you look, it's really obvious. The doors are down and it can't be anywhere.
So he wasn't able to go through the trap, but it is a pygmy hippo. And he is visiting the trap.
You can definitely see he's a male.
Yeah, and pretty relaxed. Whether he would have gone through that day or not if the trap had been open, we'll never know. But the fact is that he's coming back to that area on a constant basis. And so that's really, really exciting.
Clouds of mist drift over the forest. In the trees, a monkey jumps from one branch to another. Wei's back at one of the traps and checking the camera.
Two nights later, the male hippo returns. but again, doesn't set foot inside.
They check the release mechanism.
Time is running out to entice him into the trap. The capture team leaves in just 2 days.
I've done everything I can, but now I have absolutely no idea what the magic ingredient is to get this hippo to walk through this trap.
Looking down at the narrow river as darkness falls, then a misty light blue dawn.
And now, it's the last evening.
Which trap was this?
The bamboo.
Bamboo.
Wei and the capture team are spooling through the footage from the previous night.
Oh!
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Come on.
Yeah, but look how close he is, and he doesn't go in there.
Ooh. Oh, he's eating the three potatoes!
Yeah, but... yes!
Come on, no, wait.
Yes!
Oh my god.
He's eating the yam.
Hey?
Yes, he's eating the yam.
Oh, so close, and yet so far.
So awesome.
Wei is thrilled, and with good reason. It's a rare opportunity to see in close up a creature that only a handful of scientists have ever observed in the wild. She also now knows that the bait works, even though the hippo doesn't venture far enough inside to trigger the trap.
In the trap.
He's still very, very cautious, but he's got his entire head up to about his shoulders inside the trap. Even when he's reaching for the further yam, he's kind of grabbing it and then bringing it closer to him and eating it there. He's sniffing the human smells. I think it's why he, like, picks it up at first and he's like, yeah, actually.
But you would expect him to
and
eat
more. And he's nervous.
He is nervous, yeah. Because he's really sniffing there.
With the traps already set for the final night, Wei can only hope that he'll be brave enough to venture further in.
Daytime, and pale early morning sunlight shines down through the branches.
When dawn arrives, it brings fresh disappointment. The male pygmy hippo did return, but he didn't go inside trap one. The footage reveals why.
Another animal's in there eating the food.
Those porcupine thieves strike again. So that when the hippo does arrive, there's no food left to tempt him in.
He sniffs around the trap.
It's a huge disappointment for Wei and the team. For now, their capture plans are scuppered, but Wei hopes she'll see more of the big male hippo in the future.
We've had beautiful footage of him interacting with the trap 3 times now, which is great. He's the first hippo that we really got a clear understanding of. His core range that we got a lot of signs for. It was the first trap we built, and he's had the most time to have us disturbing his area and to get used to that.
The hippo chews at the entrance to the trap.
After 4 months, time has run out for Wei. She and the capture team must head home, but they will return. In the meantime, Donasian and Leon will continue to monitor the forest for signs.
6 months later, a large procession. A man's t-shirt has Project Hippo printed on the back.
Wei is back in Côte d'Ivoire. And today, she's celebrating Hippo Day, with children from villages around the forest and the rest of the Thai Hippo Project team. It's Karim and Inza's initiative to educate the next generation about Côte d'Ivoire's most mysterious mammal. It's also a good excuse for a party.
These children are the future decision makers. They are future researchers. So it's really important for us to drive them slowly towards nature conservation issues.
The children listen attentively while Karim talks.
Karim hopes that inspiring children to care about the hippos and their forest home is the most effective way to spread the word about saving the pygmy hippos' habitat.
For us, if you have your child come home and say, okay, dad or mom, we learn a lot about the pygmy hippos and they are disappearing, so we expect that this message is more strong when a child tell you that you have to stop what you are doing. This is our vision, that the population will start themselves said, okay, we want to protect our forest because we know how it's important for our future.
A sandy brown and black butterfly sits on a shrub. A millipede crawls upside down along a broken branch. A black and white monkey drops down through the branches of a tree.
Back in the forest, the end of the rainy season brings with it an abundance of seasonal riches for the animals. Western-pied colobus monkeys feast on ripening bean pods, ripping open the tough casings with their sharp canines to reach the seeds inside.
The branches sway as the monkeys pull the long curved pods apart.
During the wet season, Donacian and Leon continued to bait the traps with yam, but left the doors open. The cameras were also left up to keep tabs on any action. And now, Wei is about to see the results.
Oh, exciting! Let's just hope the camera traps haven't let us down.
She's not disappointed. The big male that came so close to triggering the trap appears to be used to walking through it. But that's not all. A smaller, clearly female hippo is also now on the scene.
We definitely have two different individuals walking through bamboo, so the big male, and there's definitely been a female, which is really exciting. Raises more questions about territoriality and the solitariness of the species.
It's a very important development. Pygmy hippos are thought to be highly solitary, keeping to their own distinct core ranges and only coming together to mate. That may explain the female's presence, but only time will tell.
A full moon.
That night, Wei scours the incredibly rare footage for any clues to the hippo's behavior and finds something commonly seen in captivity, but almost never witnessed in the wild.
There was a time we went out to check the traps and we saw fresh spray all over the side of the exit. So we know one of our hippos has been and actually marked our trap, but I think we can actually see that happening. So can't see it perfectly, but he stops and he actually shifts his right foot over and turns his body angle. And then you can actually, so I've actually mashed up the volume, you can actually hear this like as his crazy tail is smooshing urine and feces all over the trap. So that's really awesome, you know, to be able to kind of see a sign in the field and kind of go, oh, I think I've actually got footage of it.
Wei finds more on some leaves.
This type of spray marking is unique to pygmy and common hippos. It's thought to be the way a pygmy hippo communicates its presence within its home range. But Wei is considering a second theory about navigation.
My hypothesis that wherever we say see spray on a hippo's path, we pretty much start looking for some kind of turnoff or crossroad or a new kind of right or left-hand turn or a bifurcation going off in two different directions, and we usually find one.
While Wei continues to put the pieces of the pygmy hippo puzzle together, a new capture team has arrived. Wei will work with them, but will also follow her own leads to advance the fieldwork. So little is known that even the smallest detail could be crucial in building a conservation plan to save the species. Whilst the capture team waits to see if the hippos return to the traps, Wei is on a different mission, investigating a report of a hippo den.
In the riverbank.
First, she needs to check that there's no one at home.
She climbs down.
Pygmy hippos are thought to make their dens in riverbank hollows like this, created by fast-flowing water as it hits a bend in the river, under the roots of primary rainforest trees.
All right, we're all clear.
Some ecologists believe that the decline in pygmy hippo numbers is directly related to the loss of these trees.
Wei takes off her boots and socks and wades into the river.
An improvised waterproof camera on a stick will enable Wei to probe deep inside the interior.
Ooh, something slimy.
It's another extraordinary first. It's believed that no one has ever filmed inside a pygmy hippo den before.
Okay, there is definitely no hippo around.
This one goes much deeper than the other dens she's seen.
I would never have guessed the extent of the actual den. They're always pretty small, you know, good enough to hide a hippo in, but this just is on a whole nother level.
And there's another surprise. Strange vertical markings on the bank.
You can actually see scrape marks. Right at the surface, you can see these marks going down into the water, where you've got this perfect clay wall.
The scrape marks suggest an intriguing new possibility.
We know they've got those big canines. We've kind of always gone, oh, maybe it's for fighting, maybe it's for territoriality, maybe it's for breeding, maybe it's for carving out riverbanks.
It's the first time anyone's found evidence that hippos might actually play an active role in excavating their dens. But that's not all.
That is going in so deep.
The first entrance connects to a second.
I'm at the end of the pole.
The tunnel measures an incredible 9 meters, the length of 2 cars.
That is going deep this way as well.
And 3 meters away from the bank, the camera pops up in a hippo-sized air pocket.
It means basically that this hippo can dive under and then resurface in an area where they can sit happily, breathing, completely enclosed, completely safe and hidden. And it's huge. A single animal shouldn't need something as huge as this. So whether they kind of use it to raise young, especially when they're super, super little, whether they pair in these dens, I mean, we don't know. And considering the size of it now, I'm kind of wondering whether that could be a possibility.
She explores it again.
Bit by bit, Wei is unearthing new insights into the secret life of her pygmy hippos. But as she starts to uncover their secrets by day, they are giving her and the capture team the slip by night.
They check one of the traps.
Neither the big male nor the female has been seen on camera for more than a month.
Walking through the forest.
Then, while out searching for tracks, she and Anasian stumble across something disturbing.
Oh. Quoi? A shotgun shell, he says, not far from the camp. It's poachers. And Wei agrees.
It raises a chilling possibility that the big male and the little female may have fallen victim to poachers.
Ah, Anasian, c'est pas bon.
It's a reminder that although the Thai forest is protected, its animals do get hunted illegally.
They pull up in their white 4x4.
Karim has brought Wei to a bushmeat market on the border with Liberia.
3 of them get out of the vehicle on a sandy brown dirt track and walk down towards a river.
While hunting forest animals is outlawed in Côte d'Ivoire, just over the river in Liberia, it's perfectly legal. Hunters sell their goods to traders who then ship the animals across the river border to this informal market.
The animals are laid out.
So you see here you have mainly monkeys. This one seems to be Diana monkey.
Yeah, Diana?
Yes. Yes. With the chief. This one is Sutimangabe. Yes, Sutimangabe. With this one, you know, it's Campbell's monkeys. It's very fresh.
Oh, wow, it's really fresh.
Yes.
C'est pas le rigueur.
She says there's no rigor mortis.
Straight through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be less than 2 hours.
Probably this morning
because
or
of
yes,
the
early.
Wei is confronted with many of the species she has seen in the rainforest being sold here as food. Both Wei and Karim are dreading finding hippo meat. A local monitoring team checks the market for all animals that, like the pygmy hippo, are on an internationally banned list of endangered species.
So she said she started in June, and from June to now, they recorded no pygmy hippo.
If they do find an animal on the list, it gets sent back unsold in the hope that the no-profit message gets through.
Officially, we have a lot of law to protect the animals, but in practice, we need, you know, more action.
Wei wants to ask a Liberian trader whether hunters target pygmy hippos.
Do you know how they try to hunt the pygmy hippopotamus? Do people try anymore, or is the animal too hard?
No, they will try. They can get it. It's
and there is like a specialist hunters?
Yes.
Do they make the pits, or they make traps?
Some set trap, some use arm.
Do people really like the
yes,
meat
yes.
of the pygmy hippo?
Yes.
More than the duiker?
More than that.
More than the sanj?
Yes.
Monkey? So they will pay quite a lot of money if there's a hippo?
Yes.
There are no pygmy hippos in this market. But discovering hippo meat is popular, at least over the border, is a reality check for Wei. But she also understands that for local people, forest animals often represent their only source of protein.
The worst thing you could do is come here and start crying and yelling and telling everyone here that their way is not okay. I'll probably go and have a little cry when I get home about the animal's eyes I've looked into today.
If you imagine that each week we have this quantity of bushmeat, that means the pressure is very high on the forest, high on the animals, and we don't know how long this can continue.
A long, grey, furry tail sticks out of a bag. A deer runs away through the forest.
Sadly, Wei's chances of capturing the big male or female hippo have run out. This morning, the capture team had to leave, but Wei is determined to carry on as best she can. She's back at the traps, where, ironically, there are signs of activity.
She says it's a porcupine. It's great the animals are coming back to eat.
Then at last, she finds a hippo calling card.
Donation!
She says, look, and points at some hippo poo on the leaves. Donation says, in the night.
We've got fresh spray in one of their really frequently sprayed spots. We've got a really, really nice fresh poo sample, which is the first in a really long time.
Once analysed, the poo will give Wei crucial insights into pygmy hippo diet and genetic profile. She can only hope that her nocturnal visitor was caught on camera. She expects it to be the big male, as this is his core range.
It's really impossible to tell, especially when they're this close up to the camera.
She says, it's a little female. Exiting that path here.
When the female first turned up in the male's core range up to 6 months ago, Wei wondered if it was for mating, but her reappearance suggests it could be more significant.
We're going to go around and see if we can figure out where she went, where she came from, what she's actually been doing, and see what's going on.
He points at some tracks and says, that's fresh.
We've got brand new fresh prints from last night, so same hippo, same spray, this lay on. We might put another camera trap right here as well.
They walk on through the undergrowth, crouching low as they search the ground for more clues. Then Donation tells her to wait and says, new poo.
What?
Beaucoup.
Beaucoup?
Oh my god.
What?
They're stepping all over signs everywhere. Getting caught in trees. Ah, getting too excited.
They follow the female's trail.
Into the river.
But the clues run out at the edge of the water.
He says she's crossed the river.
The wily pygmy hippo has vanished, eluding them once again. But after weeks of seeing no hippos at all, it's a huge relief. It's such a shame the capture team has already left. But Wei gathers what evidence she can.
Really interesting morning. Today's the first time they've kind of started showing signs back in the areas we've known about in the past.
They put up another camera to see if she returns tonight.
They look on the laptop.
The next morning brings exciting news.
A hippo's caught on camera. Wei says it's the female, and they both point as she says she comes along like this.
It's the female, coming from the same direction as last night.
She kind of goes the exact opposite way to what we've always known the male to go. So it's really interesting.
The big male has also been known to walk this trail. It seems that the two of them are sharing the route through this area, so it's possible they may encounter each other. This time, the female has left a more significant trail of clues behind.
Wei asks, it's also fresh. And Anasin says, it's fresh.
Oh, she's really going nuts marking away.
One theory Wei has about the volume of evidence is that, like cats, hippos may leave a trail of pheromones in the area they feel most comfortable in, the core of their home range.
And when they actually come back into those areas and smell their own pheromones, it produces an actual physiological response. So they actually, like a drug that alters their own biochemistry, they kind of go and relax. And then that forces them to become happy and mark even more.
If the female is marking and regularly using this same area as the big male, then it may mean that pygmy hippos are less solitary than previously thought, and indeed might share core ranges. Wei needs evidence that the big male is still in the area.
Dappled sunlight falls over the dirty brown water of the lake. Wei is standing in a wide ditch, studying the ground.
The next morning, she's back out to see if the big male has made an appearance.
Please work.
She scans the footage from the cameras on the trail the female is using. The first two draw a blank. But then, there's a surprise.
There we go, it's the big male.
He walks away through the undergrowth.
It's good to see him again. Let's watch that again. I haven't seen him in months.
Wei now has proof that the male and female have been on the same trail within a day of each other.
They obviously are very, very aware that each other are there, that there's no doubt at all that they're coexisting in an overlapping habitat without realising. They're walking directly along the same lions and sniffing each other's poo and, you know, coming just a day later and things like that. You've just got to be patient and you've got to just keep slowly fitting pieces of the puzzle together.
Wei sits outside the centre at night.
It's Wei's final night here. Tomorrow she will leave the forest and the pygmy hippos behind. She's unearthed a host of insights into the secret life of the pygmy hippo, including intriguing evidence that the male and female are sharing at least part of the same core range.
Maybe they den together and maybe they forage together and maybe they do everything as a pair, and maybe that's actually more the norm for this species than the other way around, or they might be an anomaly.
And now Wei wants to check something else from the camera left on inside Trap 1 during the rainy season. One of the hippos seen inside the trap has a notch in its left ear.
And it's exactly the same earmark that we've seen in a hippo from a study done in 2010.
It's not the big male, as his left ear is full, but she's yet to check the female.
I'm just going to go through all of the confirmed female shots and just see if I can see any other markings on her. That's her right ear. But that is definitely a full ear.
The hippo slowly moves round.
This means there are not two, but three hippos in the same small area. And interestingly, there could be two males.
But we've never heard anything about males hanging out in the same area.
The only way to find out is to analyse the only image where both ear and genitalia are just visible.
I'm going to have to look at it a few times to see whether there's an ear notch or not, but there's definitely a penis that wiggles in the corner there. If you don't have a great image, it actually is really hard to tell the difference, and you've just got to stare at it a billion times. If that is actually an earmark, which I'm starting to convince myself more and more and more of right now, it's confirmation that the earmark individual is in fact a male.
It raises a tantalizing possibility. Two males sharing the same trail as the female. And that would be a significant new development to our understanding of how pygmy hippos live in the wild.
Who knows what their relationship is, but two males existing in the same core range is huge.
And what's more, Wei now knows that this second large hippo, first seen in 2010, has survived in this forest for at least 3 years. And that's a very hopeful sign for the future of this pygmy hippo population.
Building the traps.
Wei has spent 6 months in the forest with the team, building a pygmy hippo case file. In just one small area, she's uncovered some intriguing evidence. Her findings raise significant questions about whether the pygmy hippo is as solitary as previously thought. She also found clues that they may use their canines to improve their dens. And she significantly increased the amount of footage that exists of wild pygmy hippos, the findings from which offers hope and will now push this critical research further forward.
At the hippo celebration in the village,
Wei's time here is at an end, but she's full of confidence about the future of the Thai Hippo Project.
The biggest cool thing about this hippo project in Côte d'Ivoire specifically is that they are Ivorians that are super passionate, that are also super enabled and empowered to be in a position to really have an impact. Everything we've learned so far will just keep helping to unravel more and more the secrets of this really mysterious animal and hopefully give us a better chance at helping to save them.
The children run through the dusty road, jumping and dancing. The golden sun sinks in an orange sky.